Hello, and welcome to Behind the Buyouts, the deals podcast where we sit down with private equity and venture capital practitioners and talk about their deals and deal making. I'm your host, Chris Nolter, senior writer covering technology, media, and telecom for The Deal. Let's welcome Jeff Vogel, managing partner at Court Square. He helps lead the technology effort at the firm. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate joining and looking forward to the conversation.
Great. So, you know, there's a lot to the story here. Court Square's approach to working with partners, the history of the firm having been spun out of Citi, and the evolution of the portfolio over the years. Let's start with Court Square's elevator pitch, if you could run that by us.
Yeah, great. As a quick background, I'm a managing partner with Court Square, and I help lead the technology investment effort. At Court Square, we're a middle market private equity fund based in New York. We're a majority-focused investor and a growth investor at that. We have specialties across multiple industries, including healthcare, business services, and industrials. And as I mentioned before, I help lead the technology effort. As part of our focus and evolution, we formerly were part of Citigroup Venture Capital, but mid-2000s spun out to create Court Square and still keep our tenet and core focus on investing in the mid-market itself. But really where we differentiate ourselves is we have a disproportionate amount of our investments that are with founder-based businesses and management-owned companies. So oftentimes that's first-time capital. And for a fund of our size, but we've got several billion of assets under management. Our most recent funds, just shy of $3 billion. That's increasingly and exceedingly rare in our part of the mid-market. You know, in addition to that, as I mentioned before, across our vertical specialties, we are highly focused in each of our verticals. And you know, really, we have a dedicated thematic focus in these subsectors that we know very well and have a track record of success in investing in those specific subsectors.
Okay, great. So a big part of your approach is working with founders. Could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, sure. As I mentioned up front, we have a disproportionate percentage of our investments the last couple of funds that are investing alongside founders and management-owned companies. We're just 30 investment professionals based out of New York. So for us, it's not like we have a significant scale of resources that we're coming to bear within these investments. So it's very important for us to ensure that we're aligned with strong management teams and founder-based businesses that we can align on that strategy for growth and help them scale. And given the demonstrated success that we've had in this market, particularly with these types of businesses, we've found that they're often at a tremendous inflection point for growth. And they've done an incredible job of scaling their business to the point at which they're able to receive capital and a partnership for us on the private equity side. But really, what we're doing is helping them and partnering with them to grow their business to multiples the size of where they are at the time of our investment. And because we have this demonstrated success, we're viewed as a safe pair of hands and great partners for them, ultimately, to get to that next level. And for us, our greatest advocates are the former management teams and founders that we've partnered with. And ultimately, those references are what differentiate us and help us win in terms of partnering with these companies.
So what kind of things can you help these founders with?
So frequently, the common denominator for these founder-based businesses, they haven't taken on venture capital, in that ensures essentially that they need to make payroll every month. They are very focused on profitably growing their businesses. So we like the fact that they've got the similar DNA of creating cash flow growth businesses. Having said that, they may be less willing to take growth risk, or they may need some help. They may not have historically gone the path of M&A for scale. And really for us as a partner, what we're able to provide is perspective and experience in helping them get to that next stage. And that could be across any number of factors that we can bring value add. It could mean scaling aspects of their organization. Frequently, these are platforms for M&A. And a lot of our partners, you know, had not done M&A historically, and our help through capital structuring, strategic outlook, as well as integration resources we can bring to bear, it dramatically can scale some of these companies. And ultimately for us, our founders, when we come in and invest into their business, they're taking money and capital off the table to diversify their holdings. But it's really about that second bite of the apple for them. And they're making substantial greater returns in multiples off of what they originally made just of our investment in that second trade.
Great. So your investment in Ahead seems like a good place to take this discussion. It's an example of how you grew a business. It's also something that you've used, I believe, as part of that referral system to help differentiate yourself and the firm from other sponsors. Could you take us through the Ahead investment?
Sure. Yeah, it's really a sort of the quintessential case study of a Court Square deal. Within our tech group at Court Square, we've got a deep track record in investing into IT services businesses. It really is a brand for us and an experience base that differentiates us in the market for that, given our success there. We came across Dan and his company over 5 years ago. And originally, Dan, as founder, they'd grown their business to a nice size. And he was really set on selling his business to a strategic and started a process and ultimately had talked to a number of them and through some of his advisors was considering, okay, maybe I should speak to some PE sponsors and spoke to a very small handful of us that had real experience in the space and understood his business. Ultimately, he realized, whereas it could be a great trade for him to sell to a strategic, it would be very difficult and challenging for his company and a risk to the viability of his company long-term for all that he's grown and put into it. And that in reality, the ability to partner with us could be a much bigger outcome for him in the long-term and a better outcome for his employees and customers ultimately. And so he chose us and chose to partner with us, despite, you know, again, not being the highest value. But for us, it just embarked on a tremendous journey with Dan and the rest of his team. Within the first few years of that business, we weren't focused on additional M&A and we're very focused just on how can we invest into this business and prepare it for scale and the growth opportunity that we saw for that business. You know, for us, as I mentioned before, we're very thematic in where we choose to invest into our companies. And the themes that surround Ahead were ones that were core to our long-term growth outlook within technology. And specifically, that's around cloud-based technologies and growth. And within the data center, Dan, his team had built a company that was really disrupting a traditional hardware-based market into a much more cloud-focused market. So we invested in him and the business, built out their finance function, which largely did not exist prior to our investment. And in addition to that, went much deeper in terms of the sales force and the sales engineering force to build out and invest behind cloud resources. And ultimately, that's what paved the way for tremendous organic growth in that business, double-digit organic growth, and really became a model within the North American market where these guys were playing for other founder-based businesses to look up to and realize, okay, this is what's possible and this is the growth outcome that's possible. And that led to our investment in another founder-based business that does very similar things to Ahead, just in different geography. That business was by the name of Data Blue. And after investing into that business, both of the founders of Ahead and Data Blue came together and realized we can create something far more powerful if we come together and merge. So we ultimately ended up merging those companies and really embarked on the next stage of Ahead's growth, which was really around M&A. And we probably bought an additional 3 to 4 businesses, all founder-based businesses, by the way, into Ahead and scaled it to over 5 times the size of the business from when we originally invested. Now, ultimately, it came time for us as all private equity owners to monetize our investment. And we were able to do so in partnership with Dan and his team. And we sold it to another private equity consortium a couple of years ago. And again, tremendous outcome for Dan and his team. The strong returns off of clearly the investment alongside of us 5 years prior. But in reality, it set the stage for them to just continue their organic growth journey. And that business continues to be highly successful in disrupting their market. And Dan is still very much engaged in driving that business. And for us, Dan has been a great resource and a reference, as you had mentioned, Chris, for other investments in similar businesses, not particularly ones that are just within the cloud data center space where Ahead focuses, but in tangential areas and other technologies, and particularly to other founders that are looking for the right partner for them in growing their business.
That's great. Very interesting. So Ahead is kind of a referral, a letter of reference for you when you go to talk with other companies.
Exactly. And happy to continue that case study there as to more recent investments and how Ahead and our experience there has led to, again, our differentiation and continued investments and success within technology.
Could you maybe touch on, just for a second, how it is that Ahead has disrupted the data center services ecosystem.
So as I mentioned up front, for us, we followed real specific thematics that we choose to invest behind, long-term growth thematics. In this case, very much focused on the growth of cloud within the broader data center industry. And that's, again, something that's going to drive healthy double-digit growth in the long term. And so for us, we were looking for different ways to play that growth. Ahead was part of a market that really serves Fortune 1000 customers and ones that have complex IT needs. And historically, that part of the market, if it's a large financial services firm like a bank, they're going to have their own data centers and a lot of their own complexities and risk within that. But it's all incumbent upon them buying hardware and software and installing that on their own premise. And increasingly, the market has evolved and matured and realized that isn't always what is most appropriate for these large enterprises. And there's ways of improving their go-to-market. There's ways of improving efficiency within their tech spend and ultimately becoming better businesses and servicing their customers better through more modern technology stacks and through the cloud. And that's a real challenge for CIOs and for enterprises. And Ahead, how they differentiate is they're coming in rather than just saying, hey, I'm the broker to sell you whichever box you want, this box or that box. How about I come in and help you from a consultative standpoint, map out your long-term strategy for your IT organization, how cloud can help you, where you may not want cloud, where you may want on-premise or where you want a private cloud instance. And let me holistically help you solve your challenges the next 5 years. And most other business models that were IT services companies that were servicing that model, you have to invest in those capabilities and the technological know-how for those engineering resources. And it wasn't something they were in a position to invest behind. But we certainly did with Ahead, created a differentiated service organization and a consulting and cloud organization. And that led to significant growth, both on those services engagements, but on product resale as well and software resale. So we really benefited from the tailwinds of that market. And it's a typical thematic that we look to apply across any new investment at Court Square into our technology world is what are the long-term trends we can get behind? How can we leverage prior experience and really differentiate ourselves to those companies and opportunities to say, we're the right partner for you, and we're going to be the ones that are going to help drive significant return and value for your company long-term.
Great. And can you give us a sense of the returns from the Ahead investment?
In general, Court Square, the last several decades, very strong returns. Any given fund on average is returning 2 to 3 times our money. And for successful case studies, like I mentioned for Ahead, our returns on those businesses are multiples of that average. And certainly what's most attractive for our founders and management owned companies is their return, because they're investing capital alongside of us. Their return is multiples of our return. And that's how we align ourselves with our management teams. We want to make sure that everyone is incented to drive value in these companies. And when Court Square does well, our management teams do really well.
And Ahead's success helped you with the pitch for Go Engineer. Is that correct?
Yeah, it did. So yeah, as I mentioned before, our past success sort of begets future success here. And in Go Engineer, quick debrief on that business, another founder-based business. But even though it does something very similar to Ahead from a systems integrator standpoint, an IT solutions provider, it's focused rather than on the cloud and data center side of the equation in a very different market. They service design engineers that are doing CAD design, as it's known, and additive manufacturing, otherwise known as 3D printing. And so these are very cutting edge technologies. They've been around for several decades, so it's an established market, but it's one that continues to evolve and change and drive large enterprises, whether it's industrial companies or consumer goods companies or technology companies. They all have design engineers that are working in software that helps them do their job. And so what Go Engineer does is they come in and work with these enterprises and help be the training and the systems integrator and the know-how and the engineering support to help them select their software provider and to understand how to use that within their day-to-day job. And so very similar business model to Ahead, just in a different market. And what we're able to do is, in terms of getting to know Ken Coburn, the founder and CEO of Go Engineer, you know, help differentiate ourselves to say, look at what we're able to do with Ahead and Data Blue and scaling that partnering with that management team and those founders, being the right partner for them to help scale their business to the next level, but ultimately really drive the organic growth that those businesses were looking for to the next desired exit. And for us, Dan Adamany, who's the head CEO and founder, helped us diligence the business. Dan has now actually joined the board alongside of us as well, just given being able to use that in his experience and partnering with us and growing his business to the scale we did. We see that same opportunity at Go Engineer. And so for us, Ken looked at Court Square and saw us as the right partner for him. And we're pretty excited about the future and the opportunity for that company. It's a recent investment for us. We just closed on it a couple quarters ago, but the company is already off to a very fast start, and we see some pretty big things ahead for that business.
Great. So we've discussed a couple of Court Square investments so far. Could you maybe just kind of tell us the criteria and parameters that you look for?
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned up front, we are majority investors in companies, so that means we're not typically doing, you know, minority or VC-based businesses, albeit we are heavily focused and consider ourselves growth investors. And so the nuance there is we're looking for profitable growth and cash flow-oriented businesses. So for us, we're putting equity to work anywhere from 100 to 300-400 plus million into our businesses. And what we're looking to do is back strong management teams with great financial profiles. And so that is often double-digit organic growth, strong margin profiles, so good cash flow, as I mentioned before. And increasingly, we've evolved towards stronger and recurring revenue-based business models. These are businesses that have tremendous stickiness with their customers, but also you find far less volatility in the top-line performance of the business. That will give us the tailwinds to be able to partner with these companies and ultimately grow them and improve them over time through some of the value-added areas that I mentioned, as we've done with Ahead and certainly looking to do with Go Engineer.
Great. You know, I've covered telecom for a number of years, and I associate Court Square with deals such as the investment in fiber tech. That was a pretty significant one for you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the better performing investments we've had, certainly in the last couple of decades. Fiber tech, we had a history of investing, as you mentioned before, in the communication space, other telco businesses like Intelos, and played into the thematics that we had mentioned before, particularly around the explosion of bandwidth. And bandwidth growth will only continue to grow long term as there's greater needs for streaming, as there's proliferation of devices. It's something that is going to be a long-term tailwind for that industry. And at FiberTech, we saw real differentiated ability for us based on our experience at prior investments like Intelos, which is another communications business, that we can invest behind a founder-based business again, in terms of backing them on their strategy for growth. FiberTech, unlike Ahead or some of our other investments, really was much more about organic growth and driving strong double-digit growth, being the market leader in their space, as opposed to M&A. But ultimately, we were able to partner with that team and align on a strategy for how to deploy capital into fiber-based networks. And for us, led to tremendous, as I mentioned, organic growth before, and ultimately selling to a PE-backed strategic. It was an incredible outcome for that management team. Certainly for us, is one of our biggest equity check returns in our fund history. But is it, again, a case study in being able to partner with founders, help them scale their business for growth. Interestingly enough, it showed, as you had mentioned before, an evolution of Court Square's history and how we look to and the types of businesses and profiles we look to invest in. We have a long track record dating way back into the 90s of investing more in asset-heavy businesses, particularly on the tech side in semiconductors. And as that market continued to scale to the much larger end side of the mid-market where we play, we had to shift that business model to more long-term, contractually oriented businesses like FiberTech, where FiberTech signed in 6-7 year contracts at very healthy margins. FiberTech was still fairly asset intensive in that they had to invest in the fiber infrastructure to build out the power of their network. And you mentioned before that market has continued to evolve and infrastructure funds have come into the telco and fiber-based market and changed that dynamic. We've had to be nimble at Court Square and evolving our experience and leveraging that, seeing those trends and saying, hey, what are the aspects of FiberTech that could relate into other trends and other growth going forward, other managed services companies that could be more applicable to a business model we're looking to back.
Interesting. Can you give us a sense of the returns on FiberTech?
Yeah, again, as I mentioned before, Court Square, we've been beneficiaries of great return in the last several decades, typically 2 to 3 times our money on any given fund. FiberTech, again, was multiples of that for our equity return. And our equity return for Court Square on FiberTech was quite strong. The management team and the founders made twice that return. So call it double digits on that one, but it was an incredible return for the fund. Great outcome for that management team and the business, and one that we're very happy to continue to tell that story.
Gotcha. So with FiberTech, you discussed the nature of the business having CapEx requirements because it's an infrastructure business, but also having a services component. Now, telecom infrastructure has seen a lot of investment by infrastructure funds recently. Can you maybe discuss the market dynamics that affected how you approach the telecom market?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned before, we're highly focused on strong business models. And what we found in FiberTech was high recurring revenue, near 100% recurring revenue, all long-term contracts with very strong industry-leading gross margins, so good cash flow. And ultimately, you did have CapEx and capital requirements. And that's something that traditional infrastructure funds, there has been an influx of capital into that market. And looking for exactly that, long-term contractual-based businesses, yes, they are a little more capital-intensive, but infrastructure funds are geared towards that type of a business model. And ultimately, these funds are much larger in scale than us. They may have a different return profile than us or an expectation around IRRs than we do. And so they're able to drive just a different economics in that market. And so largely for us, we've found if we're looking at a deal and it's us against an infrastructure fund, one of us is in the wrong spot. So it's not, either they typically shouldn't be looking at this type of business, or at this point we need to evolve and should be looking at that. And what we saw is, let's look at the FiberTech model and say, what's most attractive about that? High recurring revenue, good cash flow oriented businesses, but with the increasing capital needs for companies like that or tower-based businesses, that's something, again, you need tremendous scale for. And at that scale game, an infrastructure fund is more likely to be the right partner for you. And so where can we take the good parts of that business model, maybe with perhaps less capital intensity? And we have dramatically shifted our focus and benefited from doing so into more of what we would call a traditional managed services model. And that's one where you don't have the capital intensity upfront. It's just the value in your model is I'm providing a differentiated service on behalf of the customer. And that could be across a number of different areas. We have an investment in communication side called Momentum that benefits from bandwidth and cloud voice to the midsize enterprise, but without the underlying infrastructure and capital needs like a FiberTech. They may be reselling services or basing their product off of services from a fiber provider, but they're really the customer touch point. And that customer service is what differentiates them. And it's all recurring revenue, double-digit type growth with great cash flow margin. And similarly to that, we've now expanded into other real long-term growth avenues as the thematics we're chasing, like security. And another business we invested in called Thrive recently within the last year or so. Again, majority recurring revenue, double-digit organic growth. And the real growth driver within that business is mid-size enterprises needing security needs and a managed security provider that Thrive can really be that partner for them. But again, what we've avoided is there's no big capital intensity or infrastructure cost for these businesses. Thrive largely is piecing their solutions offering based on third-party technologies that they can piece together into one managed service to provide to their mid-sized enterprise customers. So for us, it's been a great pivot, one we continue to look for further investments into. But these businesses are great platforms, not only for organic growth, but for M&A consolidation. And we're really building differentiated companies and, again, benefiting from founder-based businesses and helping them scale.
Gotcha. You know, people may not be familiar with Court Square's history and the fact that you're once part of Citi. Would you discuss the origin of the firm?
Yeah, of course. So even though we've only been known as Court Square since the mid-2000s, the team has largely been intact for well before that, when we were part of Citigroup and investing under the name Citigroup Venture Capital, or CVC. CVC started investing capital off of Citi's balance sheet back in the 70s. So our history dates well into really the early stages of leverage buyouts. And we really built a brand around being one of the first pioneers into the leverage buyout space. And really for us, what's been in our DNA has been investing in growth and entrepreneurial oriented businesses. Clearly it's in the name. You've got venture capital, but a little bit of a misnomer in Citigroup Venture Capital is for the better part of the 90s and early 2000s, we weren't really doing venture capital and we were largely investing independently from Citigroup. And ultimately what we found is as you got into the 2000s, there were many captive PE organizations that were within larger investment banks. And ultimately it was creating conflicts of interest, confusion in going to market as to whether or not the investment banks were representing those or had invested ties into those private equity firms. And you saw in the mid-2000s, many of these captive PE groups starting to split out and separate from their banks and no longer have any sort of affiliation. So for us, even though we had a great relationship with Citi and a great track record there and tremendous returns for the business over time, it was the best outcome, certainly for us and the entire team from CVC. And when I joined 18 years ago, I joined CVC and we were able to spin out and rebrand as Court Square and essentially be fully independent with no more affiliation there.
Jeff, that's great. Would you discuss how Momentum and Thrive fit into Court Square's portfolio?
Sure. Yeah. Both of those businesses are part of our investment thematic within managed services companies. Momentum is a managed services company focused on mid-market enterprises, and their prime service is what we would call cloud voice or bandwidth into that enterprise. So Court Square, for example, is a customer. Momentum handles the phone system for us, as well as managing the internet and the bandwidth needs for our company, much in the same way that Momentum handles the communications aspect and outsource communications managed service for a company. Thrive does the same for IT infrastructure and cyber security. So again, Court Square, we're a customer of Thrive service. Thrive is a managed service that can handle all aspects of computing needs for a business, cloud-oriented needs, for example, like a Microsoft footprint, and increasingly for businesses, is their security protection and compliance. And Thrive has a real differentiated managed service around providing all aspects of security, whether that's firewalls, threat detection, security monitoring as well. So both of those businesses, very mission critical services they're providing to mid-size enterprises. So not to the large companies like a GE, for example, or Morgan Stanley, but for several hundred to 1,000 employees, that's really their bread and butter. And still mission critical, very recurring revenue, high cash flow businesses. And great growth, as I mentioned, across the board. Good organic growth and platforms for acquisition.
So how has the portfolio changed since that time?
Yeah. So as I mentioned before, the PE market, certainly the technology market, it's evolved greatly and changed greatly. We've had to evolve at Court Square along those same lines. And whereas historically, we may have invested and had tremendous success in more asset-intensive business models like semiconductors, that business will change and the scale grows. And so we have to be able to evolve and find other pockets of opportunity within the mid-market that our expertise can bring to bear. We shifted into largely services and software communications-oriented business models. As I mentioned before, Intellis and FiberTech are great examples of where we shifted into the communication side of the equation. But we did very much the same thing on the software and services side. And increasingly, as infrastructure funds came into the communications world, we then further dove into areas we have differentiated experience and success in on the IT services and software side. And that's where we've shifted our business model there. As you've also seen in the last 10 years, particularly the software business model, there's so many beneficial areas of that model, high growth, great cash flow, but you also have a very crowded market of very software dedicated funds that have grown in scale. We certainly still play in that market, but we have to pick our spots. Where you're seeing less differentiated expertise is on the IT services and managed services front. And that's really where Court Square has built a brand. And that's really what led to investments like and returns in Ahead and DataBlue and Momentum, as well as Thrive and Go Engineer that you mentioned before. So we've shifted our model. We've focused on areas that we can differentiate and we know and have built a real network of expertise there. And what we've also done is continue to, within that mid-market, leverage our abilities to partner with founders and management-based businesses. That's something that will continue to be a real differentiator for us and why we're attracted to the mid-market as opposed to the large cap or even much smaller and more growthy and sort of VC orientation. So, you know, look, the tech market's going to continue to change over time. So is the PE world. And Courtsquare, we've just shown the ability to continue to evolve and go where we can drive real outsized return. And as long as we continue to invest behind real core thematics that have long-term growth that I mentioned before, I think we're going to be best positioned for success.
Great. Now, considering the volatility that we've seen in the market lately, what's your outlook for tech investing for this year and looking ahead?
Yeah, look, I think in the hearts and minds of everyone, there's been so much volatility in the last several months, certainly the last year. You've got a global pandemic and COVID. You have geopolitical instability, conflicts and wars in Eastern Europe, got rising inflation. So that, you name it, there's always something that's on the horizon and creating volatility in the market, and there will continue to be so in the long term. For 2022, we tended to focus less on near-term volatility. And ultimately, what we try to root ourselves in is fundamental growth trends that likely will not change greatly over the next several years. And as I mentioned before, the dedicated thematics that on the tech side that we think have legs for years to come is growth in cloud, growth in bandwidth needs, growth in devices, you know, overall, and the high demand for security. If you look over the next 5-10 years, all of those businesses are going to grow. There may be near-term disruptions of a quarter here or two there when you've got something like a pandemic that hits, but ultimately all of those businesses will continue to grow. And as long as we tie ourselves to mid-market companies, founder-based businesses, again, where we can drive value add in those companies, but they are all leveraged to those tailwinds. That's something that for us, we feel is a long-term investment growth and an area of success that we can get behind. We're not really near-term folks. By definition, we're long-term investors, and we've got to be patient with our companies to do so. But as long as we're geared towards long-term growth trends, we feel pretty good.
Okay, so specifically, since you're looking at technology, how big of a challenge is the tight market for tech talent?
Yeah, so if you were to ask one of the main concerns or challenges across our entire portfolio, in reality, it's not just technology. The talent gap and issue that's going on hits every single one of our companies, whether it's healthcare, industrials, or services. It just happens to be particularly acute in the technology world. So in reality, it's one that we're highly focused on and looking for ways to bring on talent, engage talent, and retain that talent. But for us at Courtsquare, we have to also be thinking about, all right, well, this is a real need in the market. How can we take advantage of this? And this is another trend that even though it can be disruptive in a negative way and a challenge to companies, it can also be something that's quite a positive. And on the tech side, one of our specific thematics, as I mentioned to you before, we've got a differentiated viewpoint and experience base in IT services. We are finding that the need for software engineers and the need for talent is just a huge pain point across all enterprises, both tech-oriented companies as well as a large industrial business that's trying to improve their go-to-market or build out an e-commerce function of their side of their business. They all at some point are being disrupted by technology and need to take advantage of that for better access to their customer base. And ultimately, an engineer isn't really going to be as excited about working on one specific project as part of GE. They want to be working on the newest, hottest thing. And larger industrial companies or enterprises are having that turnover issue and ultimately increasingly outsourcing their software development and software services. And so for us at Courtsquare, we're seeing a number of these businesses that are broadly under the digital transformation and digital engineering umbrella that are concentrated business models of aggregate software developers, that they are building that culture and they can provide those services to a wide variety of clients, whether or not it's in healthcare or financial services or industrials or consumer. They are expertise in software development. And that's a huge trend that we're seeing going forward. They have the ability to retain and attract this talent. And if anything, provide these engineers with the experience they're looking for to work across a number of different projects. So that's a huge growth area. It's a burgeoning market that's been growing the last decade or so and will continue to do so and become more and more refined. But for us, that's what we're looking for is long-term growth avenues that is ripe for consolidation and a good platform to invest behind.
Well, that's really interesting how you can take something that's really kind of a challenge for your portfolio companies and kind of turn it into something that drives their sales pitch. Well, Jeff, we've covered a lot of ground here, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Chris. Thanks for the conversation. Enjoyed it and look forward to the next one.
Thanks so much. This is Chris Nolter, senior writer for The Deal. Thanks for joining us for Behind the Buyouts.